Hi, I'm Jessica Williams. I am the editor on My Dark Vanessa, and I am sitting here with the author, Kate Elizabeth Russell, and also with our audiobook narrator, Grace Gummer, who we're so happy is here with us today and who brought Vanessa to life for us in the audiobook. So I guess the first question I would like is if we could get a little bit of the backstory from you, Kate, about how you came to write My Dark Vanessa.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I started working on the book when I was a teenager, sort of when I first became aware of how teenage girls are sexualized in our culture, and writing that out and figuring it out through fiction was the only way that made sense to me. And I kept at it over the years, producing many, many, many drafts, to the point where I questioned if I'd ever be able to finish this book. But it was around my 30th birthday when the story started to come together in a way that it never had before. That was mostly due to my figuring out the present day timeline of another student coming forward and accusing Strain of abuse. And by doing that, I was also able to incorporate what I'd learned about PTSD into Vanessa's character, and that helped flesh her out in a way that she never had been before. And so it took a very long time and a lot of failed drafts to get this story right.
And so, Grace, how did you come to be the narrator?
My agent came to me about it.
And what did you think when they first came to you?
I was so excited. I mean, I looked it over and I loved the opportunity to read a book. But I read this book and like 2.5 days,
yeah,
which I never really do with a book. I try to just like make the time and read before bed or something. But with this book, I just loved it immediately. So it came to me and I read it and I said yes.
And what was the recording experience like for you? I mean, Vanessa's not the easiest character. So how did you have a sense of how you were going to try to bring her to life or how you were going to approach her character?
Honestly, no, I didn't. I sort of figured it out with May, the director, as we were doing it. But we recorded it all in chronological order. So we started when she was 15. So that was easier for me.
Did you approach like changing your voice or like,
yes,
in terms of trying to embody the character differently?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I tried to imagine what it felt like to be 15. And, you know, everything is just a little bit more like higher and kind of innocent and not really there fully. And as she gets older, I settled more into my own voice.
Okay.
But I felt like I figured her out as I was going. And, you know, it's such a complicated process in your brain, reading a book and ingesting it and, you know, making sense of it yourself as the reader. And then you hear yourself out loud say, you know, become the person that you've read. And it's very strange because it doesn't sound exactly like what it sounds like in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
So I never really loved to hear it played back for me, because I didn't want to have an opinion on her. I just wanted to be her.
Yeah. So I guess that sort of leads to the crafting of Vanessa question, and that when we've talked about how she sort of took over your life,
mm-hmm,
which is something a lot of writers say about their characters. But what did you draw inspiration from when you were creating her?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds maybe a little oversimplified, but she came to me and it felt like she was guiding me through so much of the writing process. But what helped me craft the book inevitably was that I had started working on it when I was so young. So I had all of this material that was authentically teenage because I'd,
yeah,
written it at 16, 17, 18. And so being able to lean on that material and implement it in, even if I wasn't taking like that text exactly and putting it into the book, just being able to remember what it was like mm-hmm. to be a teenager and having that material, I think really helped me keep my 30-something year old voice out of the scenes, because that was something I did struggle with, was finding myself inserting myself inappropriately into these scenes, where it's like signaling to the reader, I know this is wrong. I know she's being hurt here. Mm. Like, I'm aware of what's going on. But that was just making the text sort of spin its wheels, or like chasing its own tail. And so I had to trust Vanessa to lead the story, which it was nerve-wracking. Like, I was thinking about this the other day. It's sort of similar, I imagine, to when your teenage kid starts to learn to drive and you, like, hand the wheel over to them and just hope that they won't send the car careening off a cliff. That's how I kind of felt about, like, letting Vanessa guide this story. But then crafting her as a 32-year-old was, in a way, even more difficult, because I obviously wasn't creating her from scratch. Like, I already had her written as a teenager, but there's this period of about 10 years where you don't really see her from about age 22 to 32. And she could have veered off in any number of directions. And so I had to figure out first, like, what's the central conflict in her life that's causing this story to be told at this particular moment, which was the other student coming forward. And then I had to figure out sort of the specifics of her life. Like, what does she do for work? Was she satisfied with it? Was she in a relationship? How does she feel about strain now? How does she really feel about strain? And once I was able to answer those questions, she started to really come together. But she did take over my life. Like, she became the filter that I saw everything through, like everything I read, everything I watched, everything I listened to.
What would Vanessa think of this?
Right. Or I saw traces of her everywhere, even in really unexpected things. Like, I always remember one time my husband and I were watching the show Breaking Bad that we'd watched so many times before. And in the middle of one episode, it just occurred to me. And I turned to my husband and said, Walt and Jesse are Strain and Vanessa. And I, like, got up and left the room and started, like, rewriting a scene. Like, I would just see the dynamics of her and this
now
relationship
you mention
everywhere.
It, I can see it in their dynamic. So I guess, Grace, for you, I mean, I feel like we've sort of touched on the fact that Vanessa's difficult, and there are also some difficult scenes.
There are, yeah.
And so how did you approach this idea of trying to narrate those in a way where it's not like when you're a reader where, yes, you're reading it, but it's more passive, like you're trying to bring it to life for the listener. So how did you approach some of the more difficult scenes in the book?
Yeah, it's hard for me too. I mean, this is the first novel I've read another novel before. But I just identified with Vanessa so much. I grew up in the East Coast. I went to a boarding school. I went to Vassar for college. I saw this landscape and this life and these relationships so vividly and clearly in my mind. But as an actor, I'm also very visual. So it was very difficult for me to have her come to life in a sound studio that was, like, you know, enclosed and very small and quiet and just me. So on a very surface level, I found the dialogue to be my, like, to be the easiest stuff to do. I would often just say the dialogue in, you know, the words in quotations and skip over "she said" or "as he asked," because to me that's like, you know, and usually in parentheses
on a script. Right,
on a script, yeah. But I think what I loved so much was, I mean, I have so much to say about this book, but what May helped me with so much, the director, was all of her interior monologue stuff to herself and the way she was feeling, and the physical you know, the lake on her body, the water on her body, the way the trees smelled, you know, the way she felt in her bed, in her bedroom with her mother, and all that stuff was very, May suggested I become very interior and say it almost like I'm talking to myself as if in a sort of reverie dream state. And that really helped me get inside of myself to access her, if that makes any sense. I absolutely loved all of the stuff with her mother. And what I loved about this book too was that it's not just about what you think it's about. And it's not just about abuse and trauma and this relationship with this man. It's about being a girl and childhood and growing up. And
in our culture.
In our culture, yeah.
So as a reader and then also as the narrator, did you have different favorite scenes or did you find that it was the same scene in terms of when you read it versus when you were narrating it?
You know, the all the intimate scenes with her and Strain, I found easier to read than saying it out loud. I found, yeah, those scenes with Strain were hard.
They're hard to read too.
Yeah,
they're very hard to read.
Yeah. They're very, very hard.
That makes sense. I feel like a lot of times when we talk to people, some of the most visceral reactions are those scenes.
Right.
Kate, you said you don't really listen so much to audiobooks.
Not so much. I'm a very hard copy, tangible reader, but
me too.
The audiobooks I've listened to, I did listen to audiobooks when I was preparing for my PhD exams because I had like 300 books that I had to read. And I was like, okay, I need to, you know, diversify my reading here. And so I'd listen to audiobooks when I walked my dog. And that's really interesting, the way that you can be mobile while listening to the story. And that affected the way that I remember those books that I listened to. So I think that's really interesting. I feel like it can be so intimate, the experience of listening to an audiobook.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite scene? I don't know that I've ever asked you that question.
I don't know. I mean, I really like the scene of her and Taylor.
At the end.
Yeah, at the end. That came pretty late in the writing process. It took a while for me to figure out that I wanted them to get in the same room together because in earlier drafts, like Taylor wasn't living in the same city as her. And so it was something, their interactions were all online, but I realized I really needed them to sit down face to face. So I do like that scene. I think just because I'm proud of it, I'm proud that I like realized that's what needed to happen. But I still can't shake some of the, like, not wanting the story to be a romance, but those early scenes when teenage Vanessa is romanticizing them so heavily, the interactions with Strain so heavily, those are some of my favorite. If I pick up the book and want to just reread it, which I find myself doing sometimes just to reassure myself, like, this book is still the one that I wrote and that I remember. I'll reread those scenes at the beginning, like with the leaf and the hair and stuff, right?
Yes. Yeah.
It's it's hard to explain the appeal of that because you know it's wrong, but at the same time she views it with such a dreaminess that it's really intoxicating.
What do you hope? I know we've talked about this before, but Kate, what do you hope readers take away either from reading it physically or listening to the audiobook from the story?
Really, I hope that readers come away wanting to talk about it. That was always my, you know, number one goal is to write something that readers want to discuss and feel the desire to unpack and even to analyze. And that I think this book is, I mean, I wrote it, you know, I delved into the characters as deeply as I could. I tried to plot it as propulsively as I could, but at the same time, it's touching on this subject matter that I think a lot of us are eager to talk about right now that we want to lean into and try to figure out. And it's difficult, but it should be difficult. It should be difficult to read, and it should even be difficult to talk about. But I feel like as a culture, we're at a moment where we're ready to lean into these questions and ask, like, what's the difference between sexual abuse and seduction? How nuanced can coercion look like?
Mm-hmm. Especially at a time where we're also discovering women's and female young girls' sexuality.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And so I tried to write the book in a sort of more open-ended way where that allows readers to see themselves in it maybe, or to come away with differing opinions. And that is, I think, the thing that fuels conversation rather than sort of tying a neat bow on it and telling the reader, this is how you should feel. Mm. This is what this relationship was. This is how you feel. This is how you should feel. Not that I want readers to come away being like, oh, well, maybe it was a good relationship. Maybe it wasn't abuse. Like I do want the reader to, you know, be clear that this was abusive and wrong, but seeing it from Vanessa's perspective, it's not so black and white.
I loved how you said Grace, and I feel like we've heard this a lot. People say that they related to Vanessa, mm-hmm. no matter where they're from or what their background is or what their story is. You see yourself in her, and I feel like that's part of the universality of the story and of your creation of this character, who a lot of people think is so unrelatable at first,
right?
And then by the end, you're like, I relate to her.
Right.
God, I felt like I related to her immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Did your agent warn you about the content before? Was there any of that?
No.
Yeah. Is that something you would have told in terms of considering projects? Like, I don't want to, you know, read, say, something about abuse, or is it more based on the, you know, you'll respond to the material.
Yeah. If I respond to the material and if I think it says something important that is worth having a conversation about and elicits some kind of, discussion or reaction, that's important right now in the world that we're living in. And just in terms of what you were saying, Kate, about it being also, yes, it's terrible and it was abuse and traumatizing and bad. But it's very confusing, right? And it's complicated, and love is complicated, and growing up is complicated, and battling all those things at once. Mm-hmm. You paint such a beautiful picture of all of those struggles and that pain and the excitement and the wonder and the joy and all of it and all those feelings that we still feel like. You know, I'm 33 and I still feel like I'm 15 all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I always remember that line where she's a teenager and Strain says to her about how you feel older right now than you ever will in your life. And I'm like, yes.
I know.
When you're a teenager, you do feel like, I'm an adult. Why is everybody treating me like a child? And now that I'm an adult, I'm like, I'm a child.
Yeah.
Why is everybody treating me like an adult?
Those moments of him being really perceptive, I think they unsettled me, like even as I wrote them. And I can imagine for the reader just coming across these moments of him saying something, you're like, wow, that's true. Mm. Or there's a moment later on in the book when she's in college. And she's remembering these things that Strain has said about victimhood and how the world has a vested interest in keeping you helpless. It's like, well, that's actually true. And he's so perceptive, but is able to twist those perceptions
into manipulative
manipulation.
Yeah, really subtly. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some of the pop culture references that made their way into the book. Do you want to sort of, like, how did you decide? Well, I know you said, like, when you were trying to figure out how to write a teenager, you returned to the time period and what was sort of happening in pop culture then. But, like, how things made their way into the book?
Yeah, a lot of it came from just remembering the cultural landscape from when I was a teenager. I was born in 1984, so I was coming of age at the same time as Vanessa. And I mean, I remember being quite a bit younger and being at the grocery store in the checkout aisle with my mom and seeing the tabloids plastered with stuff about Amy Fisher, the Long Island Lolita. And that was maybe the first time that I'd seen that moniker applied to a young girl. And then later, like Monica Lewinsky was referred to as a Lolita. Mm. And I remember Anna Kournikova, the tennis star. She was like 15 right. or 16. She was really sexualized. And these things stuck out to me as wrong on some level, even at that age. But at the same time, you're living in a culture where this is completely normalized. Like people seem to sort of be resigned to the fact that the grown men are going to sexualize young girls. And when you're a young girl yourself, how do you make sense of that? And so I wanted to include those cultural references to show that Strain isn't working in a vacuum, right? That he has this entire culture on his side normalizing this behavior. And I brought in Britney Spears and Fiona Apple, I feel like specifically both because I am fans of them. So that was, you know, meaningful to me in that way. But also because those two women as girls were sexualized so relentlessly, especially Britney Spears, that I counted on my ideal reader anyway, the reader that I had sort of pictured in my head as I was writing, that reader would remember that happening to people like Britney and Fiona, and have it be sort of an instance of the book sort of nudging the reader and being like, hey, do you remember how messed up what that was? Have you ever sat and really thought about that? Mm-hmm. Or like, have you ever listened to that song and thought about what those lyrics are really about? And I kind of wanted the reader to feel complicit in those moments to I didn't want to let the reader off the hook. And I felt like bringing in this culture that we all participate in was the way to do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Grace, did you relate to the cultural touchstones?
100%.
Yeah. I mean, you're of the age, so yeah, it would make sense
born
that
in 86.
You did.
Yeah. I mean, just a month ago, I think I was, well, 3 months ago, I was driving my car with all the windows down, blasting Criminal and singing every single word.
Right. Yeah, we have spent a lot of time listening to Criminal as we've been publishing this book.
Very good song.
I still kind of can't believe that I managed to get that scene in there where Vanessa's, you know, sort of going down an internet rabbit hole, which is something that happens to me all the time, and trying to write that in fiction was really challenging. But having that scene where she rewatches that music video and is just like, oh my God. And I hoped that some readers, at least once they get to that scene, they'll go and they'll be like, well, what was that music video again? And rewatch it. Mm-hmm. And in that way, I like to think of it as called like hypertext fiction, where you're sort of leading the reader to different sources and sort of controlling their reading experience that way. Mm. I think is really interesting.
Well, the way you process and frame things differently, because I had remembered it so distinctly, but as a 12-year-old girl, that mm-hmm. music video, and how I was obsessed with it one summer when it was really big and it mm-hmm. played all the time. And then after we signed up your book and we were talking, I went back and rewatched it, and I was like, this is so...
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
But so artful and
so
beautiful.
Artful and beautiful.
Yeah.
And she's so young,
she's
though.
She's so young. Yeah. And she gets so much flack for it. Mm-hmm. So much, even though it wasn't her idea.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So do you have any, Kate, books that you would like to recommend to people after finishing My Dark Vanessa?
So many. I put a reading list on my website that's categorized by genre. So a lot of recommendations. But off the top of my head, the ones that I have to recommend are this poetry collection by Louise Gluck called Averno that has a series of poems within it that deal with Persephone, the Greek goddess. And these poems question Persephone's willingness to be abducted from was she abducted or did she go willingly with Hades? And there's they feel so relevant and so contemporary, these poems, and they were hugely influential on me. And also a play by a playwright named David Harrower. The play's called Blackbird. And anyone who reads my book and feels anything should go read this play, because it was, again, hugely influential on me. And it, the play leans so far into the dynamic of a young girl and her abuser coming together and having a conversation and figuring out what really happened about like 15 years later after the abuse happened. It's genius.
Did you see it on Broadway?
I didn't. I wish so much.
I didn't see it either, but I really wanted to.
Oh God. It's like a huge regret that I never was able to see it with Michelle Williams.
Yeah.
And finally, not a book, but a short story called Lawns by the writer Mona Simpson. It was published in the 80s. And it, I was recommended to read the short story at the very end of my MFA by one of my thesis readers. Like, she read my thesis and said, have you ever read this short story called Lawns? And I went and immediately looked it up. And then after reading it, I took an extra year to officially like file for my degree, because I just tore my thesis apart and rewrote huge sections of it, because it was, it's a story where the protagonist is so similar to Vanessa, though this protagonist is dealing with abuse at the hands of her father, not a teacher, but it was one of those pieces of writing that I read and I realized what I had been striving for in my own work and how short, how short I had fallen. And so those are three of the books or pieces of writing that I feel really kickstarted the writing process in different ways.
Yeah. What about you, Grace? Any books you've read recently that you would love to recommend? God. Do you have a lot of time for pleasure reading?
I do. And I end up not reading as much as I should.
I think everyone probably feels that way, though. Yeah.
But I love any Alice Munro story. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that people don't like him, but I like Jonathan Franzen.
Oh, people still like Jonathan Franzen.
Yeah, I love...
just not the people on Twitter.
Right. How much of the bird lovers. Right. You're probably all secretly reading Jonathan Franzen.
Joan Didion... But I read a lot of plays and a lot of scripts too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But one thing I did want to say about this book that I love is there's one line that stands out to me. When I read it the second time, when I heard myself say it out loud, I loved all the scenes with Ruby, the therapist, but there's one thing that she says, you were just trying to go to school. Mm-hmm. And that to me was like, I think it was the moment where she realizes what actually in reality happened. Yeah. And that was so devastating to me. It says so much about, someone having to actually tell you what you were doing to realize what happened. And that, to try to reckon with what he did versus what you did and what you liked and what you loved about it. And it just shows how, I think she as a character to me shows how confusing this is, especially in this time of Me Too and Time's Up. How, yes, we might have all had the same experience and the same kind of trauma, but everyone's situation is so uniquely different. And because everyone is so uniquely different, and there is this pressure to speak up and say something in benefit of helping other people and a larger narrative.
Yeah.
And yes, 100%, you definitely should do that. But I love how you give room for someone. You tell someone's story who doesn't know and doesn't feel comfortable. And I don't know, as I was reading it, I was listening to The Daily, and the other day Harvey was on doing his trial, and having his trial in New York, and there was this whole segment on The Daily about an anonymous woman who came forward who has said, you know, her story, but ended up dropping it because she just doesn't want to.
Right.
And I think a lot of people have a lot of judgments about that. And I certainly had a judgment about it when I first heard it. But it's a really difficult question. And mm-hmm. I'm really glad that you touched on that.
Yeah. And I think fiction is the place to do that.
Totally.
Because how else are you going to get access to a story mm-hmm. like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if someone doesn't want to come forward, then they don't come forward. And then their story isn't heard. But right. in fiction, you can create a story that's fictional and then therefore belongs to anyone.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, and it's people can engage with it without feeling like they are personally attacking someone
right.
or judging a real person. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have your own opinions about Vanessa and her story because she's a fictional character. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it does also feel like it has real life stakes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, any final questions for you guys now? Well, one thing that I find is interesting is, do you feel like there's a difference between the experience of listening to a book versus reading a book? The audio, have you ever done both? Well, I guess, no, because you haven't listened to your own recording.
But, I mean, listen to like segments of
okay.
it, but I don't really like, it's like listening you to listen? Your own voicemail.
Oh, yeah.
No one likes to do that. No. I don't love the sound of my voice.
Like, have you ever both read and listened to a book?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so. It'll with this, though, I wonder how those difficult scenes.
Yeah. Now I'm very eager to listen to this
versus
audiobook.
Reading it in the audiobook. But yeah, I'm so excited to hear it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it
really, those scenes were hard too because, I mean, his name is very fitting for his
right.
character.
Yeah.
He is such a strain. I felt such a strain physically, mentally, emotionally, and physically on my voice during those scenes because I wanted him to be this draining, sort of all-encompassing, articulate, you know, pronouncing every word, deep mm-hmm. voice, bigger person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I'm very eager to listen to this one. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. And thank you, Grace, for bringing my Dark Vanessa to life for the audiobook and for bringing Vanessa to life.
I hope you like it.
And thank you, Kate, for writing it.
Thanks,
thank you.